he did.
Amen.
I wish he wouldn't have to. I wish my sin wouldn't have required that. But I'm glad he was willing to do it. If you're saved tonight, I'm glad you got in on it. Can I set this on this table?
Yes, yeah.
Can I? I
don't know. Set it up next to
the... Yeah, I don't know. Go I'm on one of these guys pointing to the ring Brother Spurgeon left, you know. Amen. So if you're saved here tonight, I'm glad you got in on what Jesus Christ did for me. That's how I look at it. That's how personal it is. When I got a hold of that, I got a hold of him. I didn't know much else. But like I was telling Brother Billy earlier, I said, God saved me in a jail cell, but a couple weeks later put me in a church to believe that book, preach that book, and it's just been getting better and better ever since. Amen. I should have gotten on it much earlier. The mask thing's fun. I carry a handkerchief. Preachers should carry a handkerchief in their pocket. Pants pocket in case they have children. Because one of them blows their nose, you know, or they want a handkerchief, but you need to have one for, you know, so I carry one in my coat pocket that now the kids have blown their nose on. They've been out of the house 10 years. Habits are hard to break. Amen. And then I gotta start stuffing this in my pocket, and I'm going, I had it yesterday, and I said, I'm going to sneeze and blow my nose in my mask, and then I got to put it on. Late, man. I thought I was at a place where life was supposed to start getting simpler, but actually it is, because it's mind over matter. Most of this stuff, I don't mind most of this stuff because it doesn't matter. That's the way I look at it. Take your Bible tonight. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Man. Oh, I will share this news. Today, it was revealed quite creatively. I'll leave it at that. My wife and I are going to be grandparents of a baby boy toward the end of July. So my daughter, we knew she was pregnant, but they just found out, and so today we found out that it's going to be another boy. That'll be grandchild number 11. I know some of you have more than that, but I didn't get started till I got saved. I was old man when I got started. And God still blessed us richly. If you think about it, and you ought to, because all these kids you got, pray for our daughter Rachel that she will have, healthy pregnancy, and she had 4 already. But, we don't take anything for granted. We want God in on it. So now you gotta pray. We need it. Bible says this, verse 7, we're in James chapter 4. I like that, cyberspace. Didn't we just start a branch of the military for this very reason? Space Force. Amen. I said, what is all that about? We going to Mars? They said, no, it has to do with cyberspace. Okay, I don't know. And here we are. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. That is a good idea. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You got to do it in the order God gave.
Yes.
You're not going to resist the devil. He's not intimidated by you or me. But if you submit yourself to God, you do what God says, you surrender to God. In fact, and this will go with the message tonight, you get as close to God as you can, he'll move on. Amen. It says in verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That is a promise, a precious promise. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. How appropriate that has become. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's a hand cleansing station in the lobby, and there's a heart cleansing station right here. If that's what needs to be done, feel free to take advantage. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We often pray for meetings. My wife and I pray I pray with preachers. We often pray for meetings by acknowledging that we need to draw nigh to God. It was mentioned last night. I don't need another meeting any more than you do. This isn't just something, oh, it's spring, or except in the rest of America, it's winter. So, but this is your spring revival, and I am loving that. In that reveal thing I talked about, I saw it on a cell phone. They're out in the backyard, and it's snow everywhere. And I'm like, oh, look, that's nice, that's funny. And I'm looking out, and it's beautiful. Anyway. Amen. We need to draw nigh to God. We just don't do this because somewhere along the way it said in the rule book we need to do this. Of course, a lot of people are using a different rule book than we are. They're using, you know, parameters that they learned in cemetery, whatever. But we know this. We know this from our book. We need to draw nigh to God, and this is an opportunity to gather, get a concentrated dose of preaching, singing, spiritual songs, fellowship. And boy, if there's a collateral damage issue to this thing we find us in, it's the severance of fellowship. Amen. And that's not a small thing. Amen. I got a text message from someone, members here, probably listening now, saying that they're here in spirit, they're here on the watching and all that. And that's encouraging to know. Yep. Amen. Because I fear and don't doubt, as this same thing's going on all over, there are people that aren't, that have gotten out, whatever the reasons, I respect it, but they're not watching. They're not tuning in. They're man, I'll tell you what, the flesh isn't interested in this. And so I need this. And so do you, obviously, because you're here. So I'm glad you're here. Draw nigh to God. It should be every Christian's desire to want to get closer to God. It should be. Not just by the end of this meeting, by the end of every service. Every time you come to church, I mean, you ought to go to church with a mentality, God, speak through my preacher, speak to my heart. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time you get to come into church, this is a supernatural thing that goes on when the Word of God is preached. Amen. Now, like I said, we got an opportunity for a concentrated dose of putting the flesh under subjection, try to get what? Closer to God. Let me say it again. It ought to be every Christian's desire. Amen. If you're saved and it's not your desire, folks that are here tonight on a Saturday night, thank you for coming. Folks that are home for whatever reason, if it is not your desire, maybe you never thought about it this way. I hope this message helped you. But if it's not your desire, chances are you're either way too preoccupied with something else. And it doesn't have to be an evil, wicked sin. There's good things that slip in, like we preached last night, and take over first place. We need to get that thing straightened out. You're not going to get closer to God till you do. He's not going to settle for third place in your life or second. Maybe you're saved, and it's truth be known, and I wouldn't ask for a show of hand, but you within your own spirit would admit to yourself or already have, you know, you're just going through the motions. You're just playing church. Listen, if I was going to find something to play, it wouldn't be this. Amen. You know, you've heard the term practicing religion. I'd be afraid I got good at it. The last thing I'd ever want to get good at was religion. Amen. We need to get closer to God. Now, there are people, and I qualify that by saying, that are saved, they say they are. They can tell you about it. If they're saved, but they're not interested in drawing nigh to God because they're backsliding. I didn't say backslid. I didn't say backslidden. And if I did, you'd know what I meant. But the problem is, those aren't Bible terms. Backsliding. In other words, words, when you start sliding, backsliding isn't a location that you end up at. Amen. Who knows where you could end up once you start sliding? I'll tell you what, this opportunity, any opportunity where the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God within a person is submitted, amen, there's an opportunity to turn that thing around, to stop that downward spiral and start sliding back. And that's what we need. That's what I need. I know because I've been in those places, and I thank God for Bible preaching that bears witness to His Spirit inside of me. Amen. Amen. So I want to preach tonight on this creative title, Draw Nigh to God. I know. I miss creative titling class in Bible school. I mean, I've been in meetings where the preacher's titles were deeper than my whole messages. Don't amen that, brother. Amen. But I want, hey, listen, I the thought is clear, is it not? We need to get as close to God as we can. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's given me enough trouble in my life. I want to figure out from that book what I got to do to keep him away from me. It says, draw nigh to God, and he might, if you're lucky, if he feels like it, draw nigh to you. Is that what your Bible says? Absolutely not. I love the, here's one of the specificity. Did I say that right? Would you know if I didn't? She would. See, she gets me later all the time. Amen. I love the Bible being clear and plain. Yes. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Let's pray again. Father, I do love you and I thank you for grace. I thank you for those that have come out and those that are watching online, and I pray for the ones that should be and aren't, either one. And Father, I pray, God, you now empower me to say something that'll make a difference. Make a difference for your glory. Put a smile on your face, Lord. God, help us to submit to you tonight for a little while. And we're the benefactors of that. Could it be so? Lord, if there's somebody in here or somebody listening that's not saved, pray, God, that they get, that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before they draw their last breath. And Father God, between now and then, our last breath, God, help us to get closer to you so that we can be vessels, meet for the Master's use while we're here, while we weather this, whatever it is, trial, storm, truth be known, compared to what the Church of Jesus Christ has been through in the last 2,000 years, this is a small thing. Help us to, forgive us for whining as much as we do, myself included. I love you tonight, Lord. Pray I never get tired of saying it. Pray that, God, you'd just meet with us in a mighty, specific way tonight. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, take your Bible, go to Psalm 139. Let me say, number one, just a couple things here. To draw nigh to God, you're going to have to search your heart. Not asking if you're saved, you love Jesus, you believe the King James Bible. We're talking about making whatever effort necessary to get closer to God. Amen. And so to do that, you're going to have to start with searching your own heart. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think, 13, examine yourself. Might have been 1 Corinthians, somebody knows. David says it like this in Psalm 139. This is deep stuff. He says this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. David is asking God. He's not going through some little repetitious prayer. I mean, he began this psalm with these words, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. When David said in verse 23, search my heart, search me, O God, know my heart, he knew God could do it. Amen. And he wanted God to do it. Amen. To me, I look at that, and it's obvious, it's a safe bet that before David would ever lay a request like that out to an omniscient, omnipotent God, he had searched his own heart as much as he could. He wanted to be closer to God. He confessed everything that needed to be confessed. He asked God for everything that he could think of that he needed help. And then he said, God, if I missed anything, you show it to me. Man, I know a lot of Christians that are never going to pray that kind of prayer. He wanted to get close to God. He wanted to get as close as he could. He didn't want anything in between him and God. And I'm going to say to you tonight, if you're ever going to draw nigh to God, you're going to have to search your heart too. Often. Don't you wish it was a one-time thing? Don't you wish it was a once-a-year thing? That thinking flesh, isn't it discouraging how fast that thinking flesh rears its very ugly head without a mask? Amen? God is not going to draw nigh to sin. I gave you some proof. It says this in Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, you're not going to draw nigh to God if you can't get a prayer through. It says if I regard, that's just, I mean, you start thinking about it. Amen. It's a no-brainer. God's not going to be anywhere near sin. He doesn't like it. He's not going to hang out with it. And he sure enough proved it on Calvary, didn't he? That was what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is so serious about a zero tolerance of sin in heaven that he gave his only begotten son to make a way for our sin to be gotten rid of. If it's that serious to him, mark it down, folks. He's not going to draw nigh to it down here tonight. Just because you're not doing something you used to, just because you're not doing something compared to somebody else, don't you let that deceitful, wicked heart trick you into thinking you're all right. You're not all right. You're not as close to God as you could be. Unless you're willing to do an honest search of your heart. And I'm not talking about playing games with God. God already knows. I go to God often. I say, God, it's me again. I need help. And he goes, I know. But you came to the right place to get help. Amen. Since there'll be no sin in heaven, he's not going to draw nigh to it tonight. I read a quote by that other Spurgeon guy. I had a lady one time, she came to a meeting I'd been on marquees, whatever, signs. And it would say, Charles Spurgeon, you know. And I'm thinking, oh boy, just don't write the checks that way. And some have. Anyway. And this lady says, you're Charles Spurgeon. And I went, yeah, kind of. She goes, I've heard of you. You know, she goes, you're that author, aren't you? And I went, well, this is before I wrote my own book, which you guys don't know anything about. Shh, never mind. And I'd written a tract, though, and she said, you're that author. I said, yes, ma'am. Have you read my latest? Charles Spurgeon wrote more books other than the Apostle Paul, and I wrote a gospel tract. Amen. Does that qualify?
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said a lot of pretty neat things. Come up, some of them were, I'll be honest, some of them are over my head. Amen. But some of them aren't. He said some things that were profoundly simple. He said, if Christ died for my sin, how in good conscience can I trifle with the very evil that killed my best friend?
Amen.
I tell you what, that'd be good for us to think about it in those kind of terms. Let me just say this to you tonight. You here, you at home. I don't even know where's the camera? I don't even know. I don't even care. Listen, everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. Get a jammer. And listen, you do not have to pray about getting sin out of your life.
Right.
It is a no-brainer. You need to pray for help getting the sin out of your life. Because there's no place for it in a Christian. And at any time, anyway, but I'm talking about getting closer to God. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I want to just remind you of something you already know tonight. If you're ever going to get closer to God, you're not going to get any more saved. I'm not saying that. But if you're ever going to get closer to God, and he sure enough wants fellowship with you, you need to get in the habit of searching your own heart. Amen? Let me give you something else. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 13. 13. So on Sunday, like everybody's in their car. I mean, there's no chairs out there. Everybody's in their car except the preacher, right? Is that how it works?
We'll be on lawn chairs.
Oh, lawn chairs. Oh, good. Because I'm thinking, I mean, you guys have these diesel trucks. You're going to sit out there idling. I mean, that's just how the mind works. Air conditioning going. Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Amen. Verse 20. We're in Proverbs 13. And look what the Bible says. The Bible says this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That Bible is so profoundly complicated and hard to understand. Isn't it? But the verse finishes with these words. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, in my years with the motorcycle gangs, I buried 41 of my own guys. I officiated 13 funerals before I ever became a Christian, a child of God. Amen? And in those years, I was told early on, you will die young or spend a lot of your life in prison or both. And like an idiot, I went, okay, bring it on. How dumb is that? Looking back. Amen? It says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I watched lives destroyed and my turn came and that's when I got arrested. Thank God for a praying mother. Amen. Thank God I had a praying mother who stayed right enough with God to get a prayer through to get the gospel to where I was. Thank God of all the stupid things I did in my life, I didn't miss that. Amen. But I sure enough understand what it means. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let me say something to you tonight. Thank God there's no strings attached to salvation. But if you're ever going to get closer to God tonight, you might need to secure some new friends. Amen. And if that hasn't been the downfall of many through the years, new converts just couldn't break some associations. And listen, that flag, I just go to the bars and shoot pool now. I won't drink. I guarantee you, if I'd have tried that, I'd have been drinking. Saved, amen. I mean, that thinking flesh doesn't have any respect for anything. Just wants to do what it wants to do. Amen. You got to learn to burn some bridges. Let me give you two guys in the court. This has been a while. But in maybe the first 10 years I was in the ministry, I met two guys that were members of the Hells Angels. Hells Angels Motorcycle. We were life and death enemies of the Hells Angels. Amen. Our clubs were. And these two guys had gotten saved. One was in Pennsylvania, one was in Connecticut. And I talked to them instead. People connected them to me. And I'm not enemy anybody anymore. Just sin, just the devil. I tried to encourage him. I tried to help him. And one guy, I believe he is saved. I talked to him enough. He was saved. But I'll tell you what, he could not get past the old life, the old associations. There were things in his head and he just couldn't make any progress. The other guy, he got out and he got out of that and he got into this and he like me, he in his early, late 30s, early 40s, he's just sitting in church. Amen. The 10-year-old's no more Bible than him. He's kept his mouth shut, kept his ears open. By the time I met him, he's in a church. He's involved in a nursing home ministry. He takes trumpet lessons. This Hell's Angel takes trumpet and he cleaned up his act and take trumpet lessons so he can play the trumpet at a nursing home to a bunch of elderly people. And there's somebody come in, an elderly lady came in a wheelchair, and he'd been over to talk to her. And I'm talking to a guy and he's dressed like a Christian. But when he bent over, I could see he had this big old skull on the back of his neck and flames coming off of it. And you couldn't see it. It keeps it covered. But he's sitting there talking to that lady and I'm going, boy, if people only knew. where God brought some of us from. That guy burned bridges. Both came from same background. Both came from very similar background as me. And if they trusted Jesus Christ, they're just as saved as me or you. But they're not. One's not anywhere near close to God. It says this in Hebrews 11 and 15. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." The one fellow stayed very mindful. You probably know people that got saved that never made it for a little while, but that draw back to that old life. And again, the flesh will take you right back to the old habits. Even though you know better, you got to burn the bridges. You got to get all the way in. And it's a sad reality, a sad truth that some people, that needed to secure some new friends didn't. Maybe some struggling with that now. I'm going to tell you, I just want to say it again. If you're ever going to get any closer to God, you might need to think this thing through. I asked that preacher in that jail, I've been saved a couple of days. The preacher came back and I said, "What do I do now?" And he didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, "Okay, I trusted Christ. I did, but all my friends are criminals. Everything I'm good at is illegal. What do I do now?" And he just looked at me because they never had anybody quite like me before. And he says, he read the verse, 2 Corinthians 5. I don't want to go too far because I might be preaching a message where I tell this story again. No, I'm not telling you what day so that you don't have to come. but he says, it looks like God is going to have to give you some new friends.
Amen. That's true.
And he did. On November 23rd, 1990, I'd been out of jail less than 48 hours. And instead of going back to the clubhouse, I went to a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. Talk about a fish out of water. Apprehensive, not knowing how Christians think, not realizing that in reality the body of Christ is just full of a bunch of sinners, so we clean up nice. But God gave me some new friends, and the way I was received and the way I was treated, amen, caused me to come back that night and the next night and next week. And that was a long time ago. That was 30 years ago. Amen. I've been with the same church for 30 years. The building's changed a couple times. Pastor's changed 4 times. The name's even changed. But me and her, we're with a group of about 30, 40, is it 20? I don't know how many there are. But still with the same. When I get hold of something that's good, I stick. So you got it made. Don't worry. I'm sticking with you. Amen. We need this. We need new friends. We need the right kind of friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. I ran with iron when I was lost, I thought. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You don't need phony plastic Christian friends. You need real born-again people that'll provoke you unto love and unto good works.
Amen. That's right.
And you don't need church to get saved. Amen. There was nobody in that cell but me and God. God and me. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if you're ever going to make it anywhere as a Christian, you're ever going to draw nigh to God, why would you settle for being immersed in a stinking world that hates your guts? Controlled by a flesh that has no interest in anything godly. Why would you settle for that? Refuse to settle for that. You can have as much of God as you want. And sadly, that is the case with many professing Christians. They have just as much as they want. But I've been coming here about 8 years. And some of you, I even started to get your names, right? And then you put masks on. I come in and there's Erica standing there. And I'm going, "Hello, hi. Because, you know, everybody looks different. Amen. We need this. Amen. some Christians, some people that are saved, and I, yeah, some people that I don't doubt are really saved just don't seem to make it.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about making it to heaven. We know that. But they don't make it because they can't sever some ties with their old friends. And I hope your Christian growth isn't stunted because of your friends. Amen. Better let God give you some new ones. I know Christians are kind of weird and nerdy sometimes, but you know, you ain't got all your ducks in a row either. But I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing better than the Spirit of God between two believers bearing witness. That's how a person can come into a some Yankee from Ohio can come down here and walk in and say, that we got something in common.
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
That blows my mind. I love that. I can't get over it. I didn't join a club. I got out of one to get into something real.
Amen.
And I need to get close to God. Amen. About time I start taking my Christian life and my walk for granted, next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, something's missing. And it's the presence of the Spirit of God that will lead if you let Him. But He ain't going to lead you down the wrong path. And if you're bound and determined to go that way, if you're bound and determined to be influenced down the wrong path by some of your friend choices, you'll be alone. Draw nigh to God tonight. It says He will draw nigh to you. 2 Corinthians 6. I'm talking about getting saved. We're not talking about Jesus will love you or won't. If no, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just giving you some options. You do with them what you want. But I think there's some things that are in here that are pretty clear. How about this? How about to draw nigh to God? You're going to have to separate from some things. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. I mean, this is Pauline, right? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters,
amen,
saith the Lord Almighty. You don't see Him saying sons and daughters all the time. We understand that as children of God, it includes male and female, but it's specifically in the thing, I will become a father, I will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters. That's a pretty close,
amen,
relationship, isn't it? Amen. And we're talking about separation. Times have changed since I got saved. Separation, standards, things like that, those have become touchy subjects. Yeah, I had somebody say to me one time, Brother Spurgeon, are you a legalist? And I, funny to me, because I'm the professional outlaw in the room. I said, I never thought anybody would say that, so I countered with this. I don't know. Are you an illegalist? I don't want to be an illegalist. You know, the church judges its separation these days by staying two steps behind the world. Isn't that true? Now, let me just try to illustrate it like this. Okay, let's say, okay, help me out, Lord. Right over here somewhere. Come on, Eddie, I need some help. You're sitting right there. I need help. All right. You stand right there. Just stand by that wall with your mask on. Yeah. And you represent God.
Wow.
I know, right? Lucas, come, I need your help, brother. This will be really easy. Okay. And here we are at the beginning. Just stand right here. Give him a hug. Okay, don't give him a hug. We're social distancing this illustration. So, Brother Eddie represents God. And here's the birth, the foundation of the church. All right? Jesus Christ founded it. And they're very close. You got to imagine that because, you know, we're got the protocol. Me, I'm going to take the part that I was made for. I'm going to represent the world. I know, right? So, from the inception of the Church of Jesus Christ, the world has been getting farther and farther from God.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Right.
All right, now, brother, what's his name again? Lucas, please turn and so you can pay attention here. And so every time I take two steps, you take two steps. Now, let's go over it again. What is Brother Eddie? Who does he represent?
God.
And Brother Lucas, who does he represent?
The church.
Okay, we don't even need to ask. So, here I am, and I'm getting what? Am I getting closer to God? And then, so, 100 years go by, 1,000 years go by. Here we are, 2,000 years since the inception of the church. And wouldn't you agree that the world is getting farther and farther and farther and farther from God?
Amen.
We live in a day and age where Christianity is judging its separation. I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm not doing what the world's doing. I'm not doing what that crowd's doing. But the church is pacing itself with the world, and you might notice that the church has gotten a long way from God.
Amen.
By that philosophy.
Right.
That ain't how it's supposed to work.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. Did a great job.
Amen.
Amen. God with a mask. Oh, yeah. Amen. I wouldn't doubt he holds his nose sometimes. Well, let's move on. Amen. Oh, there's it is. Okay. And so we're talking about getting closer to God. And listen, many Bible believers, and that's my crowd, so what good does it do to talk about them other people? Many Bible believers have become very reactionary, I've noticed. If a crowd puts an unbiblical emphasis on something, we swing hard the other way. Because we don't want to be associated with them. So we just, sometimes, if we're not careful, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everything the Pharisees did wasn't bad. But some of it was. Amen? We need to learn to separate some things. The Christian life is about finding the balance, not an extreme, so we can say we're not like them. We're supposed to be getting closer to God. Not judging our spirituality or our position by anybody else, any other crowd. Did you follow? Did you catch that? Liar. No, not really. Okay, so listen, I get it. Bible believers don't want to be confused with Pharisees. But truth of the matter is, I know some that'll never be confused with being Christians either. Beloved, separation is in the book. Amen. They got to see something different in us. That Bible says in Titus chapter 2, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
That's right. Amen.
And if we don't, if we will, we'll stick out like a sore thumb. But we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. Because we don't want to be confused with somebody else. You're going to be confused with somebody else. And it's not going to be the right one. Let me tell you something. You want to draw an eye to God, you better prayerfully figure out how to separate from whatever God would have you separate from. Let me help you. I know this is hard, awkward subject. It's deadly quiet. They're making more noise in cyberspace than you are. No, they muted this 10 minutes ago. All right, go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'll try to make it easier for you. This makes separation easier. This is my approach. Because I didn't sign up for a bunch of rules either. And I'm not interested in that stuff. I just want to figure out what God wants. I don't care what I mean. I didn't care what people thought when I was lost. I didn't start once I got saved. But I do want to know what God wants. I want to know what the Spirit of God will bear witness. Amen. I want the peace. Let the peace of God rule in your life, rule in your heart. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated. See that? Separated unto The gospel of God. You know what I figured out early on? Separating unto God takes the sting out of separating from the world. Amen. How do you do it? Find out what's important to God. Make it important to you. I already quoted John 3:16. If the souls of men, women, boys, and girls are that important to him, maybe it'd be a good idea to make sure they're that important to us.
Amen.
Amen. And I didn't say people. I said souls. You know what our problem is? We spend too much time looking at people. Oh, hold on a second. Let me show you something I learned on the road. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. There. Take care of it for you there. Amen. Find out what's important to God. So find out what God doesn't like and stop liking it. Hello?
Amen.
It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That means you better do some examination, figure out what's keeping you from running your race. Amen. And it doesn't have to be sin in and of itself. It says lay aside every weight. But I'm telling you what, if there's something, you'll be honest with yourself, if there's something slowing you down, God doesn't like it. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, we're to run all. What's keeping you from running all? Anything? If something is, well, that needs to get some spiritual attention if you're going to be as close to God as he would like. Better yet, don't just find out what God doesn't like, find out what God hates. It's in there. It's in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says this, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yep, God hates some things, doesn't he? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Pretty clear. Amen. That's pretty clear list. Amen. You want to get closer to God. If you're doing any of that stuff, you better quit.
Amen.
Amen. That's why it's in there. Amen. You don't have to wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ to find out that God didn't like that. Just figure it out. Go through the Bible. If there's an outside chance, err on the side of righteousness.
Amen.
Find out, you want to get closer to God, find out what he loves. It says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name, but to do good and communicate, forget not for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. When you find a verse that says what God's well pleased about, that'd probably be a good thing to start pursuing. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 9, 24, that he delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth cheerful giver. You want to get closer to God? Find out what God likes. Start liking it. Find out what God loves. Start doing it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Last of all, some of you can sigh now. A relief. Get off the separation. I would love to. God told me what to preach. You hear me? Last of all, to get closer to God, not to be saved, not to love Jesus, to get closer to God, some of you, somebody may need to settle this issue right here. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse number 2. Maybe we'll read verse 1. It's a good verse. verse 1. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this, that's after chapter 3. After this I looked and beheld a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and wait, what does it say? And one sat on the throne. Let's settle this issue right here and right now. It ain't you.
Right. Amen.
And it ain't a love seat. It's God. He's the King.
Amen.
You're not. Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. That's who's on the throne. Amen. Saw a magazine cover, a Time magazine cover at a pharmacy type of thing, maybe a Walgreens. It's been a while. And the front cover, pretty blank with a teenage girl on the front laying like she's laying on the floor. And dressed like they dress. And she's got a phone, smartphone, and she's got it up in the air, and she's doing a selfie. All right? I don't even like that word. Amen. And that's what she's doing. And the caption is, of the Time magazine, the me, me, me generation. And this has been a few years. Amen? I'm not picking on anybody. I know a lot of people that need to settle this issue. You need to settle the issue of who's on the throne, who the boss is. Amen? Our problem is that we get saved and we still want to be the boss. We talk about serving God, and I found out there's a lot of people that are more than willing to serve God in an advisory position. God doesn't need our input. Amen?
Amen.
So I had a preacher one time say, instead of you treat God like a spare tire in a trunk of your car. I mean, it's there. If you ever need it, it's there. You ain't checked it. You hope it's got air. You know, you hope it ain't dry rotted. Ask me how I know about that. But I got this. We're going down the road of life. But if I ever get a flood, I've got spare. I got. And that's sometimes how we treat God. Like, if we ever need him, he'll be there. We needed him to get saved. We needed him when our kids were messing up. But, you know, for the most part, we're sailing along pretty good. That book says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I know a lot of Christians, obviously, he didn't direct them where they are tonight.
Right.
In some areas of their life. I'm not talking specifically about this. Amen? We need to draw nigh to God. We need God so much more than he needs us.
Right. Amen.
But see, we still, that flesh wants to stay in control. Because it can in so many ways. And that's why we got to surrender. That's why you got to submit yourself. It doesn't come natural. So if you want to get closer to God, you might be, maybe you're one of the ones, maybe somebody listening at home needs to just hear it again. You need to settle the issue who the boss is. The verse, our text says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
So that'd be a pretty good idea to figure out how to do that, because you're going to be the one that benefits the most. So let me just wrap it up like this and say, if you're not as close to God as you should be, if you're not as close to God as you once were, amen, let's close the gap.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Eddie, I need you again. I need you again. This time, you're a wicked sinner. You go just... All right. So, somebody said it like... You know, our text says this. Draw nigh to God. So, you know, God's way over there. No, God... I'm going to be God this time. Maybe we better reverse this. You be God again, because I ain't comfortable with that. You be God again, and I'm the sinner that needs to get right. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I once was. And I want to get closer to God. So I want to draw nigh to God. And he's way over there. You know, the first part is start heading the right direction. But wait a minute. If it says, draw nigh, so that's what I'm going to do. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So you take a step. And then I take another step. Whatever it is I need to get right. Whatever it is I need to confess. Whatever it is I got to get straightened out. But I take another step toward God. But he's taking a... Are you getting this? Here's my point. So as distant as that seemed, and sometimes it seems that way, seems like God's a long way off. Seems like, how am I ever going to do this? The distance between God, thank you, brother, between you and God is only half as far as it seems, right. If he's moving your way, when you start moving his way. That ought to be encouraging, just that. But I got news for you. It gets better than that. Let me read you a verse. Luke 15 and 20 says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran.
Amen.
And fell on his neck. So we'll do it again, only this time when I take a step toward God, you start running. Run. You're, okay, I'm kidding. We could have had that on video. Amen. But it's not even that he'll meet you halfway, man. You start moving his direction. He'll pick up speed. He's more interested in this than we are. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Man, that's a pretty good deal. You ain't going to find a better deal than that. Amen. So if you're not where you should be, or you want to get closer, it's your move. And if you'll make it his way, he'll meet you more than halfway.
Amen.
Now let me say this. If you're in here, you're listening, you're not saved, I got some bad news for you. Revelation 20 verse 15 says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And if you've never had your sins forgiven, I'm not talking about what you believe, what you think. I mean on the authority of the Word of God. If you've never been born again, Jesus said you must be born again. If you've never been scripturally saved, you're on your way to a lake of fire. Amen. And if you die before you get saved, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up in a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's straight. Just giving it to you straight. And that's out of love. I got some good news to go along with that. Your spiritual condition can change that fast. Now you wait a millisecond past your last breath and it's signed, sealed for eternity. But while you're breathing, you can make a spiritual decision to trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that can turn around.
Amen.
And you can begin, you can embark, you can endeavor on, Lord willing, on the lifelong journey to get closer to God and find his will and do something to show your gratitude until you end up spending eternity with him.
Amen.
But it's still your move. Let's stand.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God. What a promise. Amen. It doesn't work if you're not saved. I mean, religion has tried all the time. Amen. But we're talking about nurturing a relationship as a child of God. And if you've been saved very long and you're honest, you've been disappointed, just like the rest of us, at just how unspiritual that flesh
Amen.
Is.
Right.
So he gives us the Bible, and he gives us preaching, and he gives us songs to remind us, and he gives us each other, and he gives us church, and he gives us a moment to reflect on what goes on when the Word of God is preached and lands in your heart. And that's why we don't just, you know, rush it out. If you need to deal with God, pray, do business with God, wherever, up here, back there, pray for somebody, that'd be a good time to do it.
Amen.
I mean, our attention's going to get captured as soon as we do the final amen. And even in good ways, fellowship, that's good. Once we get in the... Amen? But right now, let's give a moment to the Lord
Before
we... And maybe we'll get some spiritual strength that'll cause all that to make us want to come back tomorrow.
Amen.
Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege to try to preach, and thank you for these precious folks that make it easy. And God, I pray that something was done according to your will, and I pray that God, people do business with God according to your Spirit's leading. There's somebody that's not saved here at home. Lord, I pray, God, you make it easy for them to understand. This isn't about religion. This isn't about turning over a new leaf. This is about fulfilling your will that none perish. God, please. We pray for mercy, like was said last night. This church is here to be a help, to bring people closer to God. God, I pray that if that's a need, whether in-house or at home, God, people would take advantage of that offer of spiritual help. Lord, thank you for letting it preach. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Who's coming? You. I need a scorecard to keep up with you guys.